your experience in God makes your life, your purpose, your vision becomes clearer. So vision then comes from purpose. This is important. And only God then determines your purpose.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into the first part of a two-part series taken from a recent Wednesday night service here at Pace Assembly. This message is entitled, Revision, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
You know, I mean, God's just like this. You'll get halfway into the party and start remembering your grandmother while she's on her knees praying with her Bible open and her tissue up there. That's right. That's vision. That's keeping you out of trouble. Come on. That's keeping you in your purpose. Say a good amen. So God's purpose gives vision and direction to my life so that I don't get off course, because God's got a plan. Now, you hear that, and it's so cliche, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at people's lives across this auditorium, and there's many distractions and things for all of us that we've come in contact with. Wouldn't you say that? Has anybody ever got off course before? Okay, so I'm not going to pray for the liars not to be smoked in the pew tonight. But I'm just telling you right now, there are many things that has distracted us in our life and lifetime, and experimentation, all that kind of stuff. And if you really told your real story, there's some folks that would slide down the pew on you right now. But the grace of God, anybody know what I'm talking about? The grace of God lets me get back in line with what God's called me to do and to be. And for that reason, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts," God said, "I know the thoughts I'm thinking about you. Thoughts of peace." Now, I'm going to tell you, so let me stop right here. Don't you let the devil lie to you about what God is thinking about your life. Okay, so tragedies happen, difficulties come, death happens, all kinds of things are going to happen. But I want you to know, God is for you. And God's thoughts towards you are peace. So God's not coming at you with anything other than peace. And he says not only that, but he emphasizes the fact it's not just peace, but he said, "I'm not even thinking an evil thought about you." You should write this down, Jeremiah 29:11. "And to give you an expected end." In other words, God's plan has already been written and you're living it out right now. And God, who is a giver, knows the expected end. So God has bought you some gifts for your whole life. I'm talking about from the beginning of your life all the way to the end of your life. God has strategically already, he's not waiting until you get into a crisis. He already knows what he's going to drop into your life at that any given time to help you fulfill the purpose of God for your life. And he sits in heaven and smiles when you're all frustrated and you don't know what to do and you want to quit. I preached a few weeks ago up at Brother Guyton's church for DTV up in Atmore, and God gave me a word. I started preaching that thing, and I mean the Holy Spirit filled that studio, and one of the camera operators, the girl operating the camera, I didn't know what was happening, but the Holy Spirit was reaching right through the camera to her. She said, "I know you might have thought that," she sent this little note. She said, "I know you might have thought that that nobody was listening, but I'm telling you, you were speaking directly to me." So I sent a little note back and said, "Praise God, I'm so glad for that. Just keep on keeping on." Well, it's been weeks later. So now, right on the heels of that, she sends back another little note and says, "You have no idea. I was almost ready to quit today, but your word came right on time." I just want to say to you, God, it's not me, God set that up. You understand what I'm saying? I had no idea when it was going to happen, how it's going to happen. But if you'll look and hear for the voice of God, God's got an expected end for you. Come on now. He's got an His plans are already laid out from the dawn of time. And he knows right when you need the right encouragement and somebody to come along and bless you and let you know everything's going to be all right. And you're standing there weeping your eyeballs out and God's sitting in heaven saying, hey, come on, you have no idea what I've got for you in about an hour from now. So God in heaven is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you that you won't mess up, because what he has in store for you is waiting under on the tree. And if you'll just stay the course and not lose hope and lose faith, come on somebody, you're going to receive in due season if you faint not. I believe this is good tonight, don't you? It doesn't matter what your current state is. What you have or what you don't have, as long as you can see what could be, then there will always be, God will always add faith, hope, and a future and substance of things hoped for. So life, then, without purpose and vision, will perish. This is the infamous passage of Scripture, and I like the way it reads in the New King James. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So why do you think there's rebellion in your house or rebellion on your business or whatever that it may be? It's because everybody is not online with the vision. So if you've not given them a revelation of where we're going, then people cast off restraint. In other words, they go any direction that they want to. It's like herding cats. That's the reason why you have to continue. Listen, the book of Nehemiah is one of the greatest books on leadership that you could ever read, and following those passages in there and knowing what Nehemiah did. And every 17 days, Nehemiah was encouraging the people by giving them the fresh vision over again. He told them, this is what we're building the walls around Jerusalem. Because you have a tendency to lose heart if you don't know where you're going. So whenever in your home, talk to your kids about where you're going. That's what they want to do. We only talk about it when it's vacation time. Kids, we're going to Disney. Woo! The rest of the year, they don't know where we're going. Come on, am I right about it? I mean, we plan it all out. Even when we get to Disney, we got the map, and the kids are going, I want to go over here, I want to go. And somebody takes control and says, no, we're going to Fantasyland first. Right? Am I right? You lay the plan out. Why don't we do that on a regular basis with God's purpose and plan for our life? You got to talk it up. You got to talk it over and over again. This is what God's wanting us to do. Okay. So you want to move into a house, a year from now. Okay. What's the plan between now and then? Okay, you want to accomplish this. I want to get my education. I want to get a college degree. All right, what's the plan? What's the step? God's put that in your heart. Go after it. I mean, you be anything you want to be these days. Come on, somebody. The internet's out there. You could be a brain scourgeon. Come on, somebody. Write it down, because this is the most common understanding of vision is just seeing. Seeing. But vision is more than seeing. The vision of God, the purpose of God, the vision that God gives to you is more than physical sight. In fact, it comes from this word here, hazons, which means vision, which means to see and coming into being. In other words, I don't just see it, but I see it coming to pass. I see it coming into being. I was 9 years old when I heard the voice of the Lord say, I'm calling you into the ministry. But I was not ready to come and pastor Pace Assembly of God. And everybody said amen, including me. Okay? You know? Just because God calls you today does not mean that you're going to occupy that space and title tomorrow. But the vision keeps me moving in that direction. People have come into my office and say, wow, all these books. Well, if I had like antique cars parked all up in the office, they would say, well, you must know a lot about antique cars. Well, I don't have that. And I, you know, my wife has the cookbooks. I don't have the cookbook because she knows, I know, and anybody that knows me knows I don't cook. Beanie Weenies would work over, I can do that, MREs. But I have purposed and fed the vision of my life for what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. All right. So what am I going to do? I'm going to buy the books that feed the vision. I'm going to buy the books. I'm going to watch the video. I'm going to go to the seminar. I'm going to do whatever it is that feeds the vision. It is useless for me. For me, I can't tell it for you, but for me, it's useless for me to go to a seminar on, whatever. Huh? Cooking. There you go. I mean, you take me and sit me down in a Rachel Ray class and I will go crazy right up. Because that's not me. But you start talking scripture with me and start talking about, you know, things that have to do with what vision that God's put in my life, and you don't have to crank my motor. Come on, somebody. I'll not only crank my own motor, but I will rework the whole thing and make it faster. Do it better. God helped me to do that. You should never stop being able to realize that. A biblical vision then is the ability to see the end from the beginning. I'm telling you, you're living that right now. I saw that sanctuary full. I've already seen two services. Okay, when we built the church at Destin down there, I saw the building. I in my mind, there was nothing out there. We had 2.5 acres of the Guinness Book of World Records most prickly pears in one particular location, and pine trees. Before the pine trees were gone and the prickly pears were gone, I already saw the building standing there and only had 10 people. That's called a vision, y'all. I started moving towards that, and it wasn't that year, and it wasn't the next year. But when it finally started developing, and here's what happens. You got to stay the course, because the closer you get, now I'm preaching, I feel the anointing coming here. The closer you get to seeing the vision fulfilled, the more the attack of the enemy is going to come. And the more distractions are going to come, and the more things are going to pull you away, and the more voices get in your head, and the more people want to talk you out of it. Right there when you're getting ready, after you have worked so hard and fed yourself and had the plan laid out and the whole deal, and right there at that moment, that's when the enemy wants to swoop in and stop you from fulfilling the dream. But how many of you know, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm not going to let anybody in that world for me on this coming year. I'm going to let them make my baby leap. Come on, somebody. Get around somebody who's going to help my baby to leap. You'd have to be here Sunday. I'll never forget it. I had the picture of the building, the location, the whole bit, the way the layout was in the sanctuary. I saw it all. Not the first blueprint drawn. I saw it all. And I started questioning myself, because I went down to the bank. And little old preacher with a handful of people sitting behind the desk there with the big banker guy trying to make friends. You know? And he starts asking me questions that I don't know what in the world I'm talking about, but how many of you know you got to fake it till you make it? Come on, man. And the worst thing, see, it's one thing for you to go down there and buy a house, you got collateral. Buy your car, you got collateral. Buy something like that. But when you got to go down and sell a vision, if you don't believe in it, ooh, I'm preaching right now. If you're not convinced of it, you won't convince anybody else. That's one of the basic elements of preaching. If the preacher is not convinced with what he's preaching, he'll never be able to convince a congregation. If you're not sure you're saved, you won't be able to get anybody else saved.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.